Welcome to all of you to our Sunday morning worship service. We are glad you could join us. Do we have some visitors with us this morning who we need some introduction? Welcome here, Mark. Yeah. Good to see you. May we resonate with the words of the psalmist when he says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Let's look at announcements briefly. Ingrid, I think you had one, yeah? Let's start with that one.
Monica called last night to say that Elizabeth Entz, the mother of Fred Entz, and Fred's siblings would like to thank Pastor Rudy, Eric, and Erica for your participation in the funeral service. They are also grateful for the ladies who served and for everyone else's support of encouragement and prayers. Thank you.
I know it's not just a given anymore that people are able to find, that churches are able to find people to serve at things like funerals. There are a number of churches who simply have that catered and because they can't find people. Really appreciate the fact that people have been able to come and been able to serve in that way. It's much appreciated. Also, the funeral for Elma Friesen was held this last Thursday in Winnipeg as well. I think on that side of the family, I think Grant was telling me that's the last surviving, no, sorry, that the last aunt that passed away now on that side of the family. And want to wish the family well with God's continued faithfulness in all of life and in all of death. Just a couple of updates here in regards to prayer items for the week. Just to note that Tim Weeb is saying that the doctors are saying, and he himself feels he's healthy enough now to undergo further chemo treatment. So he's going to be starting another round of that this coming week. Harv Thiessen is making very slow progress, but it is progress. He is starting to wake up and starting to follow a few commands and is very, very tired, but things seem to be working, and the doctors say it's going to be a marathon. It's not just a slow kind of a recovery. This is going to be a long haul. So want to wish them and the family well. Some people leaving for Soar Heartland coming this Thursday. Shania Ginter, Josh Dick, and Cynthia Cron are leaving this coming Thursday for that. And I know that Heidi is also leaving for France coming this Thursday as well, on a trip that, is there anybody else? Is anybody else staying? People just travel. Jake. Oh, you're staying. Good, good. Well, just stay put, yeah. We need someone to stay. Other items, I think just wanted to note, we don't often mention and give a push, but I don't know. I think it's important to give a push for the blood donor clinic. There's another one coming up on Wednesday, and Ryan and Pioneers. I know there's certain people that we meet each other all the time there, and Walter, you've been there every time, and a number of other people, but you know, they could use a lot more blood, and they can use, you people have blood, we need to give blood. And there's a lot kinds of reasons why some of us can't, because of medications and other kinds of things, but I think a lot more people would be able to donate blood than what they think they can. And just a push for that. They do a good job of that there, and my goodness, it's, yeah. Anyway, come. Apparently it's in you to give, that's what I hear. There we go. Salem Home invites us, anybody who's interested, church leadership and others, to come to a meeting on Thursday, March 22nd, 7 o'clock. There's an evening of information and discussion and some topics, construction projects, and other items there as well. Are there other announcements that we should be taking note of? Anybody else? Do you accept all the invitations that come your way? Are there some that look suspicious? Like on your computer it says, click on this button, send us your bank information and we will deposit thousands of dollars if you agree to pay so and so much up front first. What are the criteria you use for deciding to accept an invitation or not? Are there some which come your way which you know you should accept, but you do so with a certain amount of trepidation? Are there others which you gladly look forward to? Sprinkled throughout the scriptures are invitations. In fact, the Bible can be viewed as an invitation for us to live in God's world on God's terms and not our own. Come into his presence with singing, says the psalmist. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Will they red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And further he said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Come, follow me, Jesus said to his disciples. And they came and they followed. And the invitation still stands. Let's pray. Come, O Lord, into this space. Come into our hearts and our minds. Come with your illuminating presence, your challenging vision, and your everlasting love. Come, and may we receive you. Amen.
Good morning. I've chosen songs to sing that reflect our passage, and it's actually Psalm or Isaiah 55, 1-3. Come, all who are thirsty. So we're going to sing some hymns that aren't in the hymn book, and of course, Springs of Living Water. I'm sure it's familiar. Let's stand. And the song, As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Thank you.
I'll ask the ushers, please, to take this morning's offering. Thank you, Ingrid, for that familiar tune from Psalm 23. Let's bow to pray. Thanks be to you, O God, that, according to the psalmist, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, before you formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are our God. A God of no beginning and no end, a God able to encompass all of what we experience here on earth, everything from birth to death, from health issues to items of praise. And so we bring before you the Entz family. We ask that you would walk with them in this time of sorrow and loss. Be for them the rock they can cling to in all the turbulence of grief. We're grateful for the movement toward end of treatment schedules for Tenley and Nettie, for signs of awakening for Harv Thiessen, for your continued sustaining of Austin at Agassiz. Pray for your continued protection over Tim Weeb and his family, for the facing of chemo treatments and all that that brings with it. We thank you that we can come and approach you at any time, anywhere. Thank you for your continued invitation for us to center our lives on you, so that we have a place to stand in the midst of life's uncertainties. So come and dwell among us. Come and dwell within us, and may we be receptive. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Marilyn has prepared a children's story, and we invite the children to come and hear what she has prepared for us, please.
Good morning. This morning, I have to tell you a true story. But it's not just any true story. It is the best true story ever. It's my favorite true story of all time. It's a story of how much God loves you and me and everyone. Do you know that you were made to love God and to be loved by Him? And there's nothing more that He wants for you and for me than that you can be, that we are close to Him. Can you think of someone that you know loves you and that you love back? Well, if you can think of a person like that, think of like infinity times bigger is how much God loves you. And He wants you to know that. And He wants you to love Him back. He wants to be close to you. He wants to talk to you and to hear from you and be in relationship with you. Well, God made the first man and woman. What were their names? And you know, He wanted to be close to them. And you know what? Do you remember what happened in the garden? What did Adam and Eve do? They ate the fruit. Were they supposed to eat the fruit? They were not supposed to eat the fruit. They had done something. They had sinned. They had done something wrong. Something that God told them not to do. Do you and I do things that we're not supposed to do? Yeah. I know I do things that I'm not supposed to do, things that God tells me not to do. And I don't want to, but I do every day. Well, Adam and Eve did that. And do you know, it tells us in Genesis how God was walking in the garden. And He called to Adam. Do you know what He called? He called, "Where are you?" It wasn't just, "Hey, Adam, where are you?" It was, "Adam and Eve, where are you?" You know, it's not that God didn't know where they were. It's not that He didn't know what they had done. But it was that He was so sad that they had separated themselves from Him. Do you know where they were? They were hiding. They were hiding because they had done wrong and they knew it was wrong. They had disobeyed God. And He longs. He was longing to be with them. "Where are you? Come back to me." And He's like that every time we do that too. He wants to be close to us. Now, could Adam and Eve fix it themselves? No, they couldn't. So, it tells us in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. We're separated from God. But He wants us to not be separated. And so what did He do? He made a plan to bring us back to Him. He sent His Son, Jesus, to earth. Jesus walked on the earth. He was tempted by all the things that we are tempted by. But did Jesus ever sin? No, He never sinned. Now we need to understand that God is holy. God is holy, and no sin can ever be in His presence. And that's why we are separated from Him, because of the bad things we do. Jesus came to earth. He never did anything bad. But what did He do for us to help us? What did God send Him to do? That He died on the cross for us. He paid the price. He took the punishment for our sins so that we could be back in good relationship with God, because we can't do it ourselves. We can't be holy. We can't be perfect without Jesus. I want to show you something. I'm going to put this out here so that maybe everybody can see it a little bit. Can you guys all see this? So I've got a coin here. This coin represents us, okay? This represents the bad stuff we do, the sin. We're sort of drowning in it, right? I don't know if this is straight. Maybe I'm going to put it here. That's better. This candle represents Jesus. It's white and pure and holy. Jesus came as the light of the world. What's happening? Can you guys see it? It's getting into the cup, isn't it? What's happening to, what's going into the cup? All the juice that represents the sin, right? It's all sucked up underneath the cup. And it's taken away from us. But what happened to the candle? It went out. It went out. Jesus, the light of the world, died to take away all the sin from your life and from mine. He paid the price for us. But that's not the end of the story. Then God raised him up from the dead and conquered death so that we could be not just forgiven for all the bad stuff we do, but so that we can live forever with God in heaven. And it's going to be the best thing ever. So all we have to do is believe this and ask God to forgive us for our sins. And God says, the Bible tells us, he's faithful and just and will forgive us from our sins. And then Jesus will be with us and help us to live for him forever. So I'm going to pray that prayer. And if you feel led to, you pray it along with me in your heart. Let's pray. Jesus, I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for all the sins that separate me from you. I believe that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. And I thank you that you did that. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I pray, Jesus, that you will come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I want to live for you all of my days. And please help me to do that, to follow you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can go back to your seats.
All right, let's sing a couple more songs that relate to Isaiah 55. And the first one is Fill My Cup, Lord. Let's stand. His next one's called Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling.
In your bulletins, it says Isaiah 53, but I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David.
Good morning. Thank you, Christina, for reading the passage this morning. Before I begin this morning's message, I want to acknowledge those of you Before I begin this morning's message, I want to acknowledge those of you who faithfully pray for those who teach and preach in our church. You have covered me and this message in prayer over the last few weeks. The power of those prayers has been significant. I have felt protected as Satan has attempted to destroy and hinder God's word from being spoken. The ideas and thoughts have come together as I read and wrote, and just as importantly, I have felt a peace and a calmness as the Holy Spirit directed and covered me. Thank you. You have a significant part in today's presentation. My prayer for you has been that the Holy Spirit would soften all of our hearts, that he would bring us to a deeper understanding of his great love for us and help us to come to a place where we can accept that. Please pray with me. Lord God, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your great love and care for us. Thank you for your sacrifice of life on the cross so that we can receive the gift of eternal life through you. You long to be in relationship with us, and although we don't feel worthy, we are grateful. I ask, Father, that you direct and cover this time today. Please open our hearts, and may the words spoken this morning be from you and directed by you. In the name of Jesus, we come to you. Amen. I've entitled today's message, The Great Invitation, Come, Drink, Eat, Live. And it's taken from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. Hey, ho, is how Isaiah starts chapter 55. He wants our attention with the very first word, you there, all who are thirsty. All is a very universal word. No one is exempt. He is including each one of us. What he is about to offer, he offers to all. No one should feel excluded. Come. Three times in the first two verses, he uses the word come. I have what you need, and I want you to have it. Once he has everyone's attention, he invites us to come. Come and take what he is offering. The word inviting can be used in two different ways. The first one is as an adjective. You could say, that beautiful garden is so inviting, meaning that the spot is attractive, it's pleasant, and that you're drawn to that place. Or, as a verb, you could say, Lisa is inviting me to her house, meaning that something special is happening and she really wants me to come. The wonderful thing about God is he is inviting us in both of those ways. This text in Isaiah is a vivid illustration of how God invites us. What he offers us is pleasant and attractive. There is something very special he is inviting us to attend. He would invite us to this extraordinary happening. Back to verse 1. Who is he inviting? We've already determined that he is inviting us all. Everyone is included. Isaiah now puts the people he is inviting into two categories. The first type of person God invites to come to him is the one who is thirsty and broke. They are thirsty and they can't pay. Verse 1 says, come, all who are thirsty, come to the water, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Some of you have come this morning with a thirst in your heart. You feel like the brown grass out on the lawn. You're desperate for some sunshine and moisture. Old hopes have dried up. Dreams have waited and almost died. You meet dead-end streets again and again. You are empty, unfulfilled, dissatisfied, knowing there must be something more to life. Right now, everything that looks good is out of reach. There is no money, no strength, no motivation. But there is a longing, a thirst. You know there is refreshment out there somewhere. God is calling out to you. Come, he says, I am looking for you. If you feel like you have no resources, no track record, no power, no prestige, no pull, God is inviting you this morning to enjoy the banquet of salvation and the abundance of his love. This is an invitation to those who, experiencing the dryness of the world, are looking for something more and are opened to the salvation of God. The second kind of folks God is inviting are those who are described in verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? If we are honest with ourselves, I think those of us who don't fit into the first category all fit into this one. Remember, he's inviting us all, so we all fit somewhere. In verse 1, God said, he who has no money, come. In verse 2, he is talking to someone who has money, who has the strength to work. The first kind of person is spiritually bankrupt and knows it. They are thirsty and broke. But the second person isn't quite there yet. He's got money, and he's spending it. He's got strength and is laboring. It makes me think of the prodigal son. And isn't that each one of us in a different part of our life? But what are the results of his spending and laboring? Frustration. We're not like the other guy burnt out and at the end of the rope. Rather, we're still spending and still working, dreaming, chasing, searching, experimenting, looking for a different job, different city, different car, different house, different wife, new computer, new boat, new books, new bike, new grill, new season's ticket, new diet, new looks. There is a lot of looking around left in this person, but still there is no pot at the end of the rainbow, no fountain of youth, and every triumph peters out. The applause fades, the boat gets boring, the style passes, everything new gets old, and the options get fewer and fewer. When you are honest, and you know there is a canyon of need and longing on the inside, no matter how self-sufficient you look on the outside, and God knows that even better than you do. He has you in mind when he says, why do you spend your money for bread on that which is not bread, and labor on that which does not satisfy? So two kinds of people are invited by the Lord, the thirsty who are broke and cannot pay, and the thirsty who think they can pay and continue to work their way to salvation. Which one of these groups do you fit into today? And what are we offered? In verse 1, we are offered water, wine, and milk. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. These three beverages correspond to three different needs that each one of us has. Water corresponds to the need for refreshment. When you are most thirsty and most desperate, most dehydrated, it's water you want and nothing else. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3, he leads us beside still waters. He restores and refreshes my soul. God invites you this morning to receive refreshment, restoration, reviving, a new beginning. Milk corresponds to the need we have for ongoing nourishment. When someone is gasping for life, you give them water. But when you want a little baby to grow day after day, you give it milk again and again. God is not just for emergencies and mountain peaks. He is for health in the long haul. He invites you not only to come alive with water, but also to be stable and grow strong with milk. Wine corresponds to the need we have for exhilaration. We want to live and not die. We want to be strong and stable instead of weak and wavering. But that is not all we need in life. No matter how stoic, unemotional, laid back, or poker-faced we may seem to those around us, there is a childlike need inside every one of us that God has put there for exhilaration, for shouting and singing and dancing and playing, for skipping and running and jumping and laughing. We all display this need differently, but it is hidden inside each one of us. In verse 1, then, God is inviting us to come and be revived with water. He wants to strengthen us and make us grow strong with the miracle of his milk, and then give us the endless exhilaration and joy with the miracle of his wine. Verse 2 says, "Eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food." The water is good and it's plentiful. The milk is good and it's plentiful. The wine is good and it's plentiful. The Bible loves to talk about the riches of God's glory and the fullness of joy at his right hand. He gives what is best, and it never runs out. Jesus said in John 4:14, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In verse 3, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant. My strength, sure love for David." My steadfast, sure love for David. God now says, "Come to me." He is our only source of living water. He is our nourishing milk. He is the exhilarating wine. From Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." When we come to him, he makes a covenant with us, the same kind of covenant he made with King David, a covenant of steadfast and sure love. When you come to God, he makes a promise to pursue you with goodness and mercy all of your days, right into eternity. He promises to fill you with ever-refreshing water, ever-nourishing milk, and ever-exhilarating wine, forever. God is offering the only thing that really matters, a relationship with him that will go on for all eternity. It doesn't matter where you are today, whether you are a part of that group of people who are bankrupt and at the end of your rope, or whether you are still searching and striving towards fulfillment, the invitation is the same. Come. If you have never admitted your sins and you are struggling with a load of guilt, come to Jesus. If you have never asked for forgiveness and invited Jesus to be a part of your life, he invites you to come. He wants to forgive you and fill you. Maybe you have committed your life to him, but have gotten messed up in things you shouldn't be doing, thoughts or actions you know are not pleasing to God. You carry around a load of secrecy and shame. He invites you today. Come, lay your sins at his feet. He longs to fill you with joy. Jesus is inviting you to come. Don't ignore his invitation. If you are distant from God this morning, come. If you have recently come near to him but hold back from any transaction, analyzing and evaluating, you need to buy. It's a strange transaction. There's no price for you to pay. You are bankrupt. But take the water and the milk and the wine and count it all yours just as much as if you had bought it. It is paid in full. Jesus has paid the bill. If you have made the transaction and hold the water, milk, and wine in your hand, you are invited to eat. God is not a thing only to be studied. He wants a relationship with you, to be experienced. He is food and life and joy for your soul. Engage in a relationship with him. If you have eaten, delight yourself in the Lord and say with the psalmist, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. From Psalm 16. Come, buy, eat, and live. I've asked a couple of people to come help me for this next section. Those of you who are willing to come pray, could you come forward, please? This morning, I invite all of you to take another step towards Jesus. These folks who are up here now are available to pray with anybody who would like prayer. They are here to pray with you. I invite you to come up to the front and pray together. Whatever it is that you need to lay at the cross, bring it. Lay out your thirst before God. God says in his word that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 2, verse 23. None of us is righteous, and the price that needs to be paid for our sin. But God is offering you a free gift of the life in Jesus. But God is offering you a free gift of life in Jesus the Lord. Jesus has given his blood on the cross as a payment for your sin. Come accept his gift and receive eternal life. Jesus is waiting for you. If you already have a relationship with Christ and are longing for more, you feel dry and need refreshment, come, pray together. He is longing to give you joy and peace. Come, accept his gift. Come, be renewed. Come to Jesus to receive new joy. If anybody would like prayer during this time, please feel forward to just come up during the song. Please stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. From Numbers 6:24. Amen. Go in peace.